Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. And Odyssey Station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
This scoreboard update brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment. It's 7 o'clock. It's a Monday. That means it's Biggs time. We'll get to him in about 30 seconds. Other things I'd like to pass along to you, 6:45 right here on The Score. Chuck Swirsky's pregame as the Bulls are hosting the Hornets. Bulls looking to bounce back from a 107-104 loss to the Heat on Saturday night. The Sharks shut out the Blackhawks last night 2-0. Blackhawks starting a three-game road trip Thursday at the Capitals. And in college football, Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to become the new head coach at USC. Now Biggs time with Mully and Haw right here on The Score.
This hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
Grand Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. Long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you've got it, buddy. You are all over it. I think the story of the year has got to be that one-game winning streak, and it's turned everything around. Everyone feeling really fantastic. We saw, you know, I don't know if Matt Nagy actually struts, but you got that sense there on Friday. Different man than he was on Tuesday. Seemed very much in control.
Well, anytime you can go to Detroit, take out the Lions to end a five-game losing streak, you are going to be feeling a little bit better about yourself than you had been going in to the ball game. So with a long weekend that they've come out of now and a couple first-place teams right in front of them with the Arizona Cardinals coming to town this coming Sunday and then a trip to Green Bay for the Bears, we'll see if they can do anything with their newfound momentum, if that's what you want to call it.
Okay, let's call it that, Brad, the newfound momentum. How will the newfound momentum affect, if at all, their decision-making process at quarterback? Because I did hear Matt Nagy use the word cracked ribs to describe Justin Fields' rib situation and injury on Friday. And if you have cracked ribs on Friday, I don't know how much they will have healed by the next Sunday, and is that a risk worth taking by putting him back on the field?
Well, I think it's a pain tolerance issue probably more than anything, and he alluded to that as well. So, and he said that Justin had been moving around pretty well, and he didn't want to put words in his mouth, but it sounded like he was doing okay. So you would imagine that, you know, a little bit later on today when they have sort of a scaled back practice, that he might be able to do a little bit out there in advance of Wednesday's practice when they really get going with the plan for the week. I wouldn't expect any grand proclamations in regards to some of their banged up players by the coach when he speaks a little bit later on this morning, but we should get a little better indication by Wednesday afternoon as to how much the Bears were able to benefit from the extra time off playing on a Thursday game. They're getting ready for a Cardinals team that is coming off its bye week. Okay, so Arizona hoping to get Kyler Murray, the quarterback, DeAndre Hopkins, his top target back. Those guys have been shelved for a little while, and you know, the Cardinals have played well with Colt McCoy in Kyler Murray's absence. And then, oh, by the way, the Packers are heading into their bye right now, so they're going to have that extra week to get ready for the Bears for the following game as well.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, really. But the Bears have a sort of a bye week because they played so quickly, you know, that Thursday. So hopefully that helps them mend. Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, be nice to see them back. I don't know if Roquan, how you look at that hamstring. I'm not enthusiastic. Hamstrings are a problem. Marquise Goodwin, I believe, left with a foot. They've had all sorts of injuries with the linebackers. Where are they at in terms of being able to just line up for this game? We'll wait till Wednesday to figure that out, probably, right?
Yeah. He's not going to give us any clues, but you would hope that Allen Robinson and Akeem Hicks are in a much better situation this week than they were a week ago. I'm with you. If Roquan Smith leaves the game with a hamstring issue, I think it's going to have to be a mighty mild hamstring issue for him to be able to return the next week. You know, we saw Eddie Jackson miss two games, and the bye was sprinkled in there as well. So really, he was on the shelf for a total of 3 weeks. And sometimes you can see hamstring issues for guys linger longer than that. So an issue there. They've got Alec Ogletree. They're going to have to start looking probably at some other parts, unless they're really happy with what they got from Christian Jones. He's a guy that they could plug in there. But a big piece right out of the middle of that defense, he's a guy who's been going into this past week. He was third in the National Football League in tackles, and you don't need to tell people who watch the Bears on a weekly basis what he's meant to that defense.
Brad, sticking to football matters for a moment. So when you look at the offensive line, this is a nice six-game window that if Tevin Jenkins were healthy, that would be a nice evaluation period to see what he's got, to see what you're looking at in terms of the future, in terms of how his progress has gone since the back surgery. What do you expect in the way of Tevin Jenkins being used, and how would you evaluate the offensive line at this point in time?
Well, I have to imagine that they will move Tevin Jenkins to the 53-man roster later this week. Their three-week window to evaluate him while he's on the PUP list comes to an end, I believe, this coming Saturday. It's at the end of this week. So they have to make a call on him with the 53-man roster by then, or put him on IR. I would imagine, unless something's happened that we're not aware of, that he's destined to join the 53-man roster by the end of the week. They've got a spot waiting for him, guys. Elijah Wilkinson was placed on the COVID-19 reserve list for the third time this season over the weekend. So that creates an opening on the roster right there where they could slide Jenkins up. He could be on that spot. As we've talked about a couple times now, though, he will, before they kick off against the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, he will have had two practices in full pads with the Bears, as a member of the Bears. So where's the evaluation at with him? Bill Lazor, I asked him about Tevin last week, and Bill thought that he was moving better than he did in the spring. But seeing where he's at football-wise, I think it's a situation where at some point, and Olin can probably address this a little bit better than I could when you guys have him on, but at some point, they're just going to have to throw him out there in a football game and see what he looks like, right? It's going to boil down to that. And I would imagine that we see an opportunity for him in the final six games. Does it come this Sunday against the Cardinals? Maybe not, probably not. Does it come before the end of the season? Gosh, I think so, because they know 39-year-old Jason Peters is not in their future for 2022.
Brad, we saw Artie Burns make his first start of the season, and that was more about benching Kendall Vildor, who had really had problems of late. And, you know, Artie Burns immediately gives up a 39-yard touchdown to Josh Reynolds. And you thought, oh, rut-row, this is not gonna be good. He bit on a double move and got beaten. And you thought, wow, he really is taking replacing this guy seriously. But the fact is he ended up playing a little bit better as the game went on. I think he had a big third down pass defense and a couple tackles. Did he do anything to earn the start? Is Vildor going to be back at some point? Is he kind of suffering a crisis of confidence?
Yeah, I think he certainly suffered a crisis of confidence, Kendall Vildor. But I don't think you take a second-round player that you felt pretty good about and bench him with the intention of sending him packing. I think he's going to have an opportunity to at least challenge for a starting job again one day. Listen, Artie Burns isn't he's a placeholder, okay? And right now you look at that cornerback position and you say, hey, we've identified a clear need for this team to work on during the offseason. Kendall Vildor could compete at some point. He could return to the starting lineup again before the end of this season. Again, I don't think Artie Burns is going to be so good on a week-in, week-out basis that we look at that and say, gosh, they should have been playing this guy all along, right? I mean, we saw him get beat on the double move for the touchdown, but I don't think it's a deal either where you put Vildor on the bench and you say, okay, you did your 1 week on the bench. We hope you learned your lesson. You're back in there. I would think Artie Burns goes again this week against the Arizona Cardinals, because Vildor, it hasn't been a one or two game thing. He's really been kind of in a deep rut.
Brad, Matt Nagy on Friday said he literally had to laugh at the report that he canceled practice meetings after the workout on Tuesday, and he pushed back in excruciating detail about the itinerary and your reporting, and I thought brought into question. Now look, we know your sources are impeccable, your reporting is solid. You don't need us to defend you, even though that's exactly what our instinct is to do. What was your reaction hearing Matt Nagy explain himself the way he did, and then kind of put into motion this defense and this spin that we didn't hear until Friday?
Yeah, I mean, you've got an embattled football coach that's trying to hang on. I that was my reaction. You know, I don't the people that I got information from, you know, weren't in a position where they'd have any desire or need to mislead me or anything like that. I'm going to stand by what I reported in terms of the meetings being canceled at the end of the walkthrough on Tuesday. And, you know, the suggestion that it was just a business as normal Tuesday or business as normal Friday is really disingenuous on a short week for a team riding the kind of losing streak that they were in and all of that. So, you know, guys, been doing it an awful long time up there. I think my track record speaks for itself in terms of, you know, not being a guy that flies off the handle or plays it fast and loose.
Yeah, and you know, I think the other thing to recall and to remember is what the guy looked like on Tuesday at that news conference. And
yeah.
The way, you know, the way he answered questions about his future. He couldn't he you know, he could only worry about Detroit. He couldn't tell you about the future. And then, you know, obviously he meets with the team, and you got the same reports from people that were there as to kind of the way the guy looked. Now, you know, he comes strutting out on Friday. He's feeling like a million. He's got the one-game winning streak, and the story has changed, and George has spoken. But they let him twist in the wind for a while. They let him twist in the wind on Tuesday. And he, you know, didn't – he was a different cat on Friday. But you got to remember what you saw if you watch any of these news conferences. You got to remember what it looked like. And take that in context. And his kind of Alfred E. Newman, what me worry response on Friday was totally different than what we saw on Tuesday. That it's that simple.
Yeah. And so, you know, hopefully for his sake, keep the focus to football exclusively this week to try to get ready for a Cardinals team that's going to come in 9-2. Team that started 7-0, and has been .500 over the last 4 weeks, but with a couple of those key pieces out, the Bears need to go out and put a big effort forward. They need the kind of passing game for Justin Fields that Andy Dalton had against the Lions. The problem is, or one of the challenges certainly is, that they don't have the Lions on the schedule again this year, guys. The Detroit Lions accounting for half of the Bears' four wins to this point.
Yeah, and they might want to keep distractions to a minimum, because even Cole Kmet acknowledged afterward how difficult it was to process everything and how that interfered with the preparation for the Lions in a short week.
Yeah, but Nagy said nothing was going on. Yeah,
right.
But,
okay.
So you got all a player right. saying that when the coach is saying nothing to see here, you know, and it whatever, you know, if he wants to push back, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, and you know, I think that, again, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see. I believe the Hawks game was after what day was the Hawks game where everyone started chanting fire Nagy again. It's going to happen
Friday.
If they don't win on Arizona. Yes, I'm saying it was after the big win.
Yep.
If they don't beat Arizona – you know, the crowd is going to be there. They're going to turn out. They're going to let people know how they feel. So, you know.
Is George going to be taking the temperature of the South Lot on Sunday? I don't know.
Yeah. David, are you planning on walking through it with
him? I can go there. I can represent us if you want. Yeah.
I would think George has got a pretty good idea what the temperature of his fan base is right now. But, you know, you never know. Who knows? I just, you know, if they go out and beat the Cardinals,
right?
I know that'll be damn impressive. If they lose, it's not going to matter, I believe, to the fan base, whether it's a close game, a blowout, or something in between. Obviously, everyone wants to see Justin Fields play well, assuming Fields can return from that rib injury. But the final six games is really mostly about Fields and some of these guys who could be a part of what they've got in the future. The younger guys, as we talked about a couple minutes ago, Tevin Jenkins. Hey, what can Larry Borum put on tape over the final 6 weeks? If he can stay on the field for 6 weeks, by the time you get to the end of the season, you're going to have about a half a season of tape to evaluate for Larry Borum, maybe a little bit more. Those are a lot of play snaps to review and for him to learn from and sort of a launching pad for a guy that they believe can be a starting offensive tackle for him moving forward.
Great stuff, Big Z, as always. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our man, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. Always enjoy talking to him. We're going to bring in Olin Krutz. And we will ask Olin about offensive line matters. We'll ask him about this team and all matters connected to it. The Great Bear Center joins us next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Nolan Krutz, Score football analyst.
The Bears' number one issue continues to be scoring points.
Chicago Bears legend.
Man, you talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion. You're around somebody with a fire like that and, you know, wants to chase greatness with whatever they do. It's contagious. I could speak all day about Nolan Krutz. They don't make people like him anymore.
Six-time Pro Bowl center.
If you think your offensive line is the problem, then what are you going to do to fix it? It's kind of like when you hear Coach Nagy talking about the run game. I just don't know how much he means it or if he really, really thinks that that is the problem, because they never really try to fix it. By that, I mean sign offensive linemen and or sign tight ends who can actually block for the run game.
Nolan Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Tis the season to talk to Nolan Krutz, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Nolan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
All fired up, ready to rumble. Bears on a one-game winning streak. The story has changed. It shifted, and we heard all the national guys rush to the defense of the confusion of last week. Is all forgiven?
You know, this Chicago Bears organization obviously has a lot going on, and they haven't had a lot of success in the last 20-plus years. And eventually, when things don't look good up there, I've kind of nicknamed them the Four Horsemen, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Ryan Pace, and even I'll throw Scott Hagel in there. Eventually, you have to take a look at your whole organization. And the football side, obviously, with Coach Nagy, and they have a lot going on, and they can't score points even when they win. Even when they beat the Lions, it's only 16 points. Even when the quarterback throws for 300-plus yards, it's only 16 points. But as far as Jay Glazer coming out yesterday and saying none of it was true. It even takes Jay Glazer that long, a guy who breaks news all the time. It takes him that long to get to it wasn't true. And I'll tell you why, guys. It's very simple. Half the building probably wanted to fire Nagy and half didn't. And half the guys let it out that they wanted to fire Coach A, and the other half finally ran to the room. They collaborated and they all figured out, wait, maybe we don't want to fire Nagy. So I don't know if George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Ryan Pace and Scott Hagel, I don't know if they know what's actually going on a day-to-day basis in that building. And eventually that shows up in your football team. And eventually you start to look like a team that's, I think, only has four wins since 1995. So, they have one win. The last time they won a playoff game, I was on the team playing the Seahawks in 2011, the 2010 football season. And that's just too damn long ago.
That was a long time ago. Absolutely true, Owen. You know, You talk about the confusion, if you will. That's my word, not yours, at Halas Hall.
I'll use that one, too. Confusion is perfect for what goes on at Halas Hall.
So how tight is the connection between that kind of confusion or disarray in the front office and what we see on the field on a week-to-week basis? We don't want to generalize. We don't want to be unfair here, but there does seem to be a connection between that kind of management or mismanagement and what we see in terms of the product every Sunday.
Of course there's a connection, right? Of course the energy from the people who run the building filters into your team, filters into your locker room. And as you guys know, I was in there for 13 years, so I would know. And here's the thing about businessmen. Businessmen, they don't win on the football field, right? So the wins and losses don't affect them as much as it would affect the football people or the players in the locker room. But make no mistake about it. The people who run the building, you know who the owners are. You know who the leaders are. You know Ted Phillips is in charge. You know George McCaskey's in charge. You know Scott Hagel's a figure up there. You know these four guys, the four horsemen. Ryan Pace is one of them, although there's been, more than one Ryan Pace up there. Mark Hatley, Jerry Angelo, Phil Emery, on and on with these general managers. But all these guys, when they're the leaders in the building, they affect the building. They affect what goes on a day-to-day basis. And eventually they affect the product on the field because Coach Nagy them have to go to them for an answer. Coach Nagy had to go upstairs and ask him, Do I still have my job? Because obviously, when you hear that your head coach will get fired, if I'm running the building, I go down and look for him to make sure that he knows that his job is not in trouble. I go down and look at the team. I don't wait for a couple of days. I don't have my starting tight end say that the confusion affected his preparation.
Yeah, when I told David that, if I had to kind of talk about Bears PR and the way they handled this, they're kind of the Detroit Lions of public relations in the NFL. This is a group that's trying to call repeated timeouts because they are so lost on what they're doing. I said also that I didn't even know that was a rule. I didn't even know you couldn't call two timeouts in a row because I'd never seen that one before. And I guess the officials aren't supposed to call the timeout, but whatever, it's a penalty and we move on from it. But that's kind of the way this thing looks. You know, you got the national guys now coming out with the story on Sunday, this happened, that happened. Where the hell was anybody on Tuesday? You know, this broke. And there's no response. Where, finally George comes out Wednesday to talk to the team. I just thought it was an absolute travesty. And anybody that went through it, no one deserves that. It was amazing to see the coach on Tuesday and then watch him on Friday. And the one-game winning streak really kind of turned everything. I don't know how I feel about anything that's going on right now. I don't know if the quarterback's coming back. I don't know what the hell's going on with the cornerback. How did they not have a cornerback to open the season? It's just confounding that, as much as you can't score a touchdown, you can't produce anything that actually aids you from the upper offices.
Yeah, and when you can't explain everything, that's why I keep going back to it. And look, now even the way the Bears run their business, it even affects – the national guys who are really good at their jobs, like Jay Glazer, obviously Ian Rappaport gets all the news from the Chicago Bears. He's the one who breaks everything from that building, so they need to find that leak, but I'm sure they are the leak, so how can you find it? But look, as far as the Chicago Bears go and the product they put on the field, we all know in any business that anybody is in, what happens at the very top always affects the product that you put out. So the product on the field obviously gets affected by it. There's no answer because I don't know if they know what the hell's going on up there, right? So if you look at the Chicago Bears and just talk about when they played the Detroit Lions, again, they only score 16 points. You circle back now to, okay, Coach Nagy, when they couldn't score points, when the offense didn't look good, he gave the play calling to Bill Lazor. Well, Bill Lazor's had his turn, I would say, guys. Bill Lazor, in the last 10 games, they're still averaging under 18 points a game. By that, I mean the last 10 games that Bill Lazor has called plays, including the Green Bay game and the playoff game last year in New Orleans. So I think Coach Nagy has to take a look at shuffling his staff again, shuffling his offensive staff again, maybe giving someone like Tom Herman a chance at calling plays because they got to find a way to get more points on that side of the ball, and what they've been doing hasn't been working. And if you want to better your team, I think you got to get Mike Pettine off the sidelines and maybe put him as your secondary coach because you got to shake up your secondary a little bit, although the defense – has played pretty well the last two games, but you got to shake up that area a little bit and get better play out of them. Why not take a former defensive coordinator, put him back there and start demanding some accountability, make sure that you don't have the mental mistakes that you have been having, make sure they're working on tackling, shuffle your coaching staff around. Coach Nagy, honestly, what the hell do you have to lose? Because right now, what's going on up there is not working. If I'm in charge up there, I make a run, I make some changes on my offensive staff, try to get the ball in the damn end zone, try to score points. And on my defensive staff, I take the one guy who's proven that he can coach in the NFL. I take him off the sideline and try to shake up the position that needs the most help.
Creative solutions. Those would be great ideas, Olin. And speaking of shakeups, last week when we talked about the Bears' big picture, I referenced the Lions, and they hired Chris Spielman, basically a former player who cares about the franchise, to be a consultant. I referenced you. I didn't have a chance to ask you directly. I've texted with you about this. We've talked about it loosely. But if the Bears came to you, what are the chances of hiring you to tell them the truth? Because you are passionate about the Bears. You have a history as a player. You know what's best for the organization. Why doesn't that make sense? Is that even possible in your world?
Of course it is. I love football. Obviously, still cover the Bears. Obviously love the Chicago Bears. Would love to see this city get a winning team. Is it possible in their eyes? Do they think it's a possibility? Probably not. But if someone offered you your dream job or offered you something that you love to do to fix a football team, I mean, obviously that is obviously possible. There's a lot to fix in that building. There's a lot to go over the way they run things, the development of players, you know, finding a general manager, finding a new coach, if that was to happen. There's so much to do in that building, so much things to fix. And we just talked about where some of their biggest problem comes from, where, in my opinion, their biggest problem comes from is the people who hire the guys who to run their football side. Look, if you don't know the questions to ask, you can't find the right answers, guys. And I don't think those four guys that we keep mentioning, I don't think when they sit in a room and they talk football with people, they talk, how do we fix things? Kind of like the Tevin Jenkins problem, right? When do we put Tevin Jenkins on the field? I'll be honest with you. I think Ted Phillips, George McCaskey, Ryan Pace, and Scott Eagle, I have no idea when they should put Tevin Jenkins on the field. I'll be honest with you. If I talk to them, I guarantee you they have no idea where he is in his rehab process, how strong he was before he started playing. When should he play? When should we put him on the field? And I know that's one player, but that is the problem they have up there, that they are always chasing their tail and they're always one step behind either the good teams in NFL or are developing players, because the players are the ones who are going to win you the games on Sundays. The coaches, how do you find the right coaches? How do you put the right coaches in the building? How do you go this long averaging under 20 points a game? These guys don't have the answers to those questions. And if you go up there and you start to talk to them about it and put it all on a grease board and say, look, let's really discuss what our real problems are. Are they going to want to hear that their real problems are sitting right in front of them? And we talked about the why mirror, right? Coach Nagy always says the why. I would put a big in their conference room when they brought me up there, I put a big mirror up and I put why above it, and I'd sit them all in front of it. And I said, look, guys, I found your why. That's why you're losing so much over the years.
That's awesome.
Oh, they should just hire you for that reason. Olin, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, man.
That's fantastic. I would pay top dollar. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Olin is just fantastic. It's great stuff.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Got to ask you this question. Over the weekend, after the dust settled, did your bosses contact you about all that happened, say they felt bad about it? Did they contact you, Coach?
We had great conversations throughout. I think, you know, we after the win, we all came home and we're able to enjoy some time with family and get away, players and coaches, everybody. And now the single focus is on Arizona, you know. So I think that's as we go through those distractions that we went through last week, I thought the guys did a great job of handling all that, you know, putting that aside and being able to go play a good football game. The communication between everyone in this building has been good. And so I think that's all we focus on. And now it's, we get back in it this morning and got a great test here against Arizona. And that's what we'll be focused on this morning.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the great Pat Cassidy right there. That's Matt Nagy on WBBM this morning. It's a great question. Did they apologize to you all that after all the hell you went through? Twisting in the wind and all the rest of it.
Non-answer.
Yes.
Right? That was basically, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. I don't think that would happen. I don't think they're going to apologize. And if they were to apologize, I don't think we'd hear about it. Certainly not on our radio station. Probably, you know, maybe in the next tweet from Ian Rappaport or report from Jay Glazer. Maybe we would hear that next time, one of the national guys. So in the past, since 7 o'clock, Mully, let's recap here real quick. Brad Biggs standing by his reporting, which basically said that Matt Nagy was rattled on Tuesday when he canceled meetings, okay? Olin Krutz sounding like a guy open for business. Just pick up the phone, ask Olin what's wrong. He'll tell you the truth if you are brave enough to hear it. And then Matt Nagy's non-answer to Pat Cassidy's great question.
You know, honestly, I think that it's all really good, but I think Olin hit a different level there. He's offering you solutions. He's offering you creative ideas about how you can improve your team. You know, say what you want about what exactly Tom Herman is doing with the Chicago Bears. It's a real mystery wrapped in an enigma. No one has a clue as to what his actual role is. Special projects analyst. Listen, this is a guy that Urban Meyer picked to be his offensive coordinator at Ohio State. This is a guy that was like the assistant head coach of the year, whatever, the guy that put together an offense at Ohio State that got him another job. It got him a job at the University of Houston, and he rolled that into a job at Texas. So say what you want about how his tenure at Texas went and what went wrong. This is a guy that can call plays. This is a guy who's a creative offensive mind who has been throughout the course of his career. He's there on staff. Get him down. Get him helping. Let him call some plays. I love that idea. I think even better is the idea of getting a Petten involved. And listen, you got a disaster going on at the cornerback position in case you're not paying attention. And you got a defensive backs issue, problem, and you need to fix it. And Olin is giving you ideas and solutions based on what you have, not even tearing anything down or looking somewhere else, based on the people that are sitting there.
Well, when I talk about asking an ex-player to tell you the truth and hiring him for that role, it's because of what we just heard. Practical solutions, not philosophical ideas and concepts, and we have to run this scheme or we have to use this kind of way of thinking. You know what, ex-players, and I'm not speaking for Olin, but this is what we're used to hearing him talk in the way he talks directly. All you're worried about when you're trying to block a blitz on third and forever is how to survive that down. And it's a very practical approach to problem solving. And that's what he brings to the big picture. That's what he would bring to the big picture. I love that he didn't rule it out. I love that he said, you know what, I would love that dream job if they were, you know, if they saw fit to ask him. I don't think the Bears have the temerity to ever ask him because I'm not sure they want to hear the truth. Because practical approach to problem solving like he just described is something that has eluded decision makers at Hallis Hall for a very long time.
Yeah, it is. It's frustrating to hear a viable solution that you know is never going to get any legs because the people that are making the big call aren't going to be, they're not looking for that. They're not trying to solve the problem. Listen, the Bears can't score. The Bears can't score. It's a huge problem. It is the essential issue that has faced this team in Matt Nagy's tenure. And I don't care who's calling the plays or what they're trying to do. They're not getting it done. Right. So use everyone you can. Try anything to get this resolved and solved and to get some points up.
I love the idea of Tom Herman, Mully, in theory. Again, it is a practical solution.
Yep.
I do also wonder, though, we have seen his name because of his past that you referenced, success at Houston, a chance at Texas. There are a lot of big jobs open in college football. I saw him rumored or linked to the Washington opening last week. I don't know if they're going to move on that tomorrow, as rumors and reports suggest. But Tom Herman is a college football coach. Now, maybe he's going to try his hand in the NFL, and maybe he deserves a chance to call plays or to work more directly with the quarterbacks in Chicago than he has given. But I wouldn't rule out him going back to college because of the opportunities that now exist.
Yeah, I'm just looking for a practical solution to a problem, and Olin gave it to you. And I think that, you know, I think that is their biggest issue. But what's going on in their secondary is a train wreck. Again, you open the season with a nickelback that lasts a game because he can't play, and so you got to make a shift and you got to change things up. And you got a corner that you put a lot on. You know, you really believe this guy is an answer to what your issues were. He's totally lost confidence. I get it. You got to build him up. You got to get him back, and there will be time for that. But in the interim, you bring in a different guy, and he at least ended the game well. Certainly that was a disaster when he gave up a touchdown like he did biting on a double move, but it's probably going to happen when a guy doesn't play and hasn't been on the field for a long time. He did okay by the end of the game, but you can't afford to say, well, we're just going to give up the one touchdown and then we'll get good play from him the rest of the game. That's not how it works. And it's kind of a disaster when you think about both those guys.
Yeah,
it is. There's
and,
no
you know,
solution.
It's gotten
there.
So bad, Mully. It's gotten to the point where, you see news, a little scroll across the bottom of a screen that says Buster Screen signs with the Tennessee Titans on the practice squad, and you cringe and you're like, okay, I know he's bounced around a little bit, but wouldn't he be better than the alternative? You let him walk out the door for nothing and you couldn't come to an agreement. He at least is a veteran. You've not found a solution at nickel. You've not found a solution at a corner opposite right. Jalen Johnson. A guy like Buster Screen is a body who has done it before. I don't know what to think because here we are 11 games into the season and the problems that we identified back in March. Back in April, after these things, what happened to Thomas Graham, the sixth rounder that you drafted that you thought they told us was going to be a nickelback? What happened to him? You know, what about that plan? Come on.
Yeah, I saw that Buster Screen thing, and the only thing I thought is, boy, they gave that guy a lot of money for a guy that's kind of hanging on. They paid him some serious cash. The problem the Bears have, and it's been a longstanding issue, is that they have given away so many draft picks, they don't have a lot. As I've said to you 1,000 times, I got no problem trading up for a quarterback. Preferably, it would not be one spot when no one else was going to take him, but whatever. You trade up, you get a quarterback, it's that important a position. What I don't understand is why you're trading up for everyone. And what I don't understand is why you have to go into the free agent market and pay a lot of money to replace a guy. And what I don't understand is that because you're out of draft picks and you can't take a position, you're signing guys that apparently can't play. And you're throwing away top dollar, which is what free agents cost. For the most part, you spend a lot of money because that's what it costs. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm bereft of answer for some of these decisions. It's just kind of crazy when you sit back and look at it.
And it's underscored, not to put you on the spot, but remember earlier in the show, maybe 5 o'clock hour, you referenced the team that was on the field defensively at one point in time, and they were names yep. only a scout could love because right. they were not recognizable names. It was Blackson and Christian and guys who aren't household names being asked and put into positions that it speaks to your lack of roster depth. Now, they beat the Lions that way. Right. But you're not going to beat many people that way, and you haven't beaten anybody of merit that way. So that's why with six games remaining, we're sounding the way we're sounding today because, yeah, they are in the hunt, according to ESPN and their graphic and everything, because they're 4-7 in a lousy NFC. But do you really feel like they're in the hunt? I think not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, Travis Gibson made an unbelievable play in that game. It was fantastic to see him punch the ball out and get a fumble recovery. But that's not Khalil Mack out there, okay? right. I think that's the Margus Hunt, Caleb Johnson, Travis Gibson, Angelo Blackson, Christian Jones, Marquis Christian, Artie Burns, all on the field at the same time. Did you see that one coming? Injuries happen, but your depth is always challenged
yes.
in professional football. That's just the reality of it.
And Christian Jones would like to defer again just because he's really, really focused today.
Boy, I was so peeved that he got that personal foul penalty. Don't get me started on that one.
Sorry.
And listen, the Lions, if they weren't holding, they were jumping off sides. I'm not saying that, as you point out, you can play pretty much anyone. They are going to just basically timeout you to death. It was.
There were 30 teams that would have beaten the Bears on Thursday. They fortunately were playing the Lions.
And yet they're all puffy-chested after that one. So beautiful. Build on the one-game winning streak. Let's see it happen. 312-644-6767. We got Tom Thayer. We're going to talk to Tom about what's going on. We'll run some of those Olin ideas past him and get his response. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.